Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth begin in my heart and be a light along life's path for these, your people. Amen. I want to begin this morning by again drawing your attention to the 19th verse of today's lesson from Ephesians. Now, I know that the numbers in the scripture are not in the bulletin, so I'm just going to go ahead and read it to you again, as opposed to make you try to dig around and figure out where is the 19th verse. So here's what it says. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God. No longer strangers and aliens, foreigners. Reflect on those words for just a moment. I've heard it said that a child is born untrusting. Perhaps that is life, why life begins with a cry. The infant is apart from its mother for the very first time. It has become a separate human being. But also at that moment, to a certain extent, the newborn becomes a stranger. Some of us have strangers living in our own house. Some of them are going to arrive on Tuesday, I guess. We do not always understand one another. We love and treasure our children and watch them grow, but we can never completely understand them. And our parents, our in-laws, seen from the perspective of their children, us, are always doing strange things. We love them and we respect them, but we do not always understand them. A couple can be married to each other for 20 years and yet remain strangers to each other in many respects. According to the scripture, two people become one flesh in marriage, but that is not altogether true of our personalities. There is a separateness that no power in this world can ever bridge. So when Paul writes that we are no more strangers, that Christ has destroyed the wall that separates us from each other and from God, when he says that we are no longer strangers, that is truly an amazing thing to consider. Have you ever been alone in a crowd of people that you didn't know? Even when you don't know anyone, something in you wants to relate to the others. And this idea of relating to a stranger in a crowd has been a romantic influence throughout the centuries in literature, in art, and in music. Take, for example, the song Rodgers and Hammerstein wrote, "Some enchanted evening, you may see a stranger across a crowded room. And somehow you know even then, that someday you'll see her again and again." No longer strangers. There's suddenly that bond between you. And Paul tells us in our scripture reading that there can be a bond that tears down these walls that exist, that establishes an instant relationship between us and everyone else in this world and with God. No longer strangers to anyone. And that is good news. The eminent theologian of the mid-20th century, Paul Tillich, was the one who first made the term estrangement popular. He said that the tragedy of our time is man's estrangement from himself, from others, and from God. But let us look more deeply this morning at this concept of being strangers for just a moment. We can be strangers to ourselves. We can live a lifetime and never even know ourselves, much less anybody else. Probably the most bizarre example of this was the man who thought he was dead. He was a very wealthy man, and he was very intelligent, well-educated. But there was just one thing wrong with him. He thought he was dead. After some amount of tribulation, his family and friends finally prevailed upon him to talk to a psychiatrist. The psychiatrist recognized that this man was intelligent and was well-educated, so he tried to reason to convince the man of his error. He asked him, "Do dead men eat?" And the man said, "Well, as a matter of fact, maybe they do. In many cultures, the ancient Egyptians, for example, they put food in the tombs so that the dead man can come back and consume it. Apparently, dead men do eat." Then the psychiatrist asked him, "Do dead men talk?" The man said, "Well, maybe they do. You know, Houdini, for example, had a telephone put in his coffin so he could call back from the other world. And people apparently talk through mediums all the time. Yes, perhaps dead men do talk. Next, the doctor asked him, do dead men walk? The man said, well, sometimes they do. There are documented cases throughout England, for example, of haunted castles, where the former occupant comes back and walks through the night rattling chains. Yes, I think dead men do walk. In desperation, the psychiatrist finally asked, do dead men bleed? And the patient said, no, absolutely not. Dead men do not bleed. So the doctor said, roll up your sleeve. The man rolled up his sleeve, and the doctor took a scalpel and made a small incision in the man's forearm. The blood began to roll down his arm. The man then put his finger on the blood and raised it to light and said, well, what do you know? Dead men do bleed. No amount of reason in the world was going to help this man overcome his estrangement from himself. That, of course, is an unusual case. But there are examples to be seen in front of each of us every day. But why? That is the question. Why are we estranged from ourselves? Well, some of us are estranged from ourselves because we have unrealistic expectations of ourselves. Have you ever known anyone who is afraid to be just human? It's a miserable state to be in, always being so afraid of making a mistake or saying the wrong thing that we simply can't function. Those of us who are this way must realize that nobody is perfect. I know that's an awful cliche, but it's true. And we need to be reminded of it. No baseball hitter, no matter how good, ever bats 1,000. We think a hitter is remarkable if he hits the ball just 3 times out of every 10 at bats. The current average batting average for a major leaguer this season is just .246. We tend to forget that the great Babe Ruth, who at one time held the record for the most home runs, at the same time held the record for the most strikeouts. Nobody's perfect. But sometimes we forget this, and we develop an unrealistic expectation of ourselves. We forget that we're just flesh and blood. When this happens, people think that we're stuck up, that we're snobs. They don't know that we're simply afraid of making a mistake, afraid of being real. Or in the case of the man who declared that dead men bleed, we're afraid of being alive. Negative self-evaluations and unrealistic expectations estrange us from ourselves and make our potential go unrealized. No wonder we feel like strangers all the time. We never completely channel all of our energies, all of our creativity, all of our imagination, all of our inner strength, all of our power into what it could be. Because we don't know ourselves, we never completely give ourselves to anything. Now, you and I, if we were no longer strangers to ourselves, could perform at our maximum potential as husbands or wives, as parents, as active participants in our community, at everything we do. But we need to be the best us that God created. We must no longer be strangers to ourselves. And we must no longer be strangers to one another. It has been said that there's only one man-made structure on earth that is detectable by the human eye from space. And that one structure is the Great Wall of China. Now, I think that notion has since been displaced, but it seems to fit what I'm talking about this morning, so we're going to use it anyway. The one structure in the entire world that is grand enough to be seen from space is a wall. If you wanted to define human nature, a wall might be a good place to start. There's a tendency in humanity to shut others out. There's a desire to remain aloof and separate from others' people's predicaments. Unfortunately for the human race, such separation always leads to unhappiness because we were made for community, for fellowship, for oneness, for togetherness. We were not created to be strangers from one another. Sometimes even in a church, we can be strangers. And what a great joy we miss in those circumstances. Do you know what the greatest thing can happen to any church is? It's not having a successful building drive or increasing membership, although those things are wonderful. The greatest thing that can happen in a Christian church is that it becomes a true fellowship, a community of faith, a family whose members are no longer strangers. We all make the mistake of failing to reach out to understand another. We tend to forget poet Edwin Markham's words, "There is a destiny that makes us brothers. None goes his way alone. All that we send into the lives of others comes back into our own." Now, each of us has different needs. That's true. And I recognize that some of us have a need for privacy. There are some of you who would say to me, "The greatest thing I cherish is my privacy." And I can understand that. Everybody needs to be alone at some point or another. Even Jesus needed privacy. There are multiple places in the scriptures where he says things like, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place." But we should also realize that throughout the Gospels, Jesus is reaching out to others, to people. No one was a stranger to Jesus. The demonic, the Samaritan woman, the leper, the list goes on and on. There were no strangers in Jesus' world. And by his help, there need be no strangers in our world either. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could give that gift to the next generation? Have you ever noticed what happens when someone goes into a group of people that they've never met before? They feel uncomfortable and so alone. It's hard to reach out and communicate with others if you don't know who they are, where they're from, what they're thinking about you. Wouldn't it be great to give our young the gift of not seeing others as strangers? Christ can do that for us. Christ can give us that gift. He can help us see other people as human beings, not as strangers. We're not perfect, but neither is anyone else. We're not beyond redemption, but neither is anyone else. Finally, the greatest tragedy of our lives is when we are strangers with God. A certain woman traveled to Israel in her later years, determined to learn the Hebrew language before she died. She said that she wanted to be able to greet the Creator in his native tongue. But what that woman should have known, what we all know, is that we don't have to go to Israel to learn another language in order to know Christ. God doesn't speak Aramaic. God doesn't speak Hebrew or Greek. God speaks the language of the Spirit, the language we can all understand. We are not strangers. It is said that the explorer Marco Polo once visited the Persian village from which the three wise men had allegedly come that very first Christmas. From that village, Polo brought back a legend of how each of the wise men had found his own Christ in Bethlehem. The youngest of the three wise men found a young Christ. The one in his middle years found a mature Christ. And the oldest, he found a companion for old age. The old legend contains a profound truth. It suggests that whenever we discover Christ, we discover our own selves, gaining for a first time a full, honest view, both of what we have been and what we can become. In Jesus Christ, we meet both God and man. That incarnation, that divinity, is very difficult for us to understand. We struggle to comprehend the twofold nature, both man of God of Christ. But God helps us to bridge that gap. God helps us to come closer to an understanding. God tears down the wall of separateness so that we are no longer strangers. Paul puts it beautifully in his letter to the Ephesians, that there can be a bond that tears down walls, that establishes an instant relationship between us and everyone else in the world and with God. No longer strangers to anyone. We no longer need to be estranged from ourselves, from one another, and certainly not from God. Christ has broken down that wall. What great news. Amen.